Forgive me, I haven't put a podcast on here for ages, quite simply because the news in the UK and around the world has been so utterly awful. I really haven't had anything positive to say about anybody or anything. Now, I'm based in the UK, I'm based in Peterborough, which isn't God's own city. In fact, we have a terrible council, they make terrible decisions. But it seems that this is happening all over the UK at the moment. We have a thing called the HS2, which is supposed to be a high-speed railway, and this is going to be a railway without a beginning and out an end. Or rather, the London end of it will come into what is known as Oak Common. And Oak Common is in East Acton. Now, that is in West London, which is miles away from the centre of London. And since HS2, this high-speed railway, was planned, the mayors have all introduced 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. So if you're decanted off the HS2 train from somewhere near Birmingham, all the time you've saved travelling by HS2 is going to be lost in trying to get a taxi from East Acton into central London. Now, the problem, of course, is that East Acton is in the middle of nowhere. It's on a mass of B roads. I used to go there to the Cash and Carry, Booker's Cash and Carry, because I once had a catering, but had a wine bar in Chelsea. So I know the route, and it used to take forever to go from A to B. So really, what on earth are they doing? It's way over cost, but of course, like everything else this terrible Conservative government is doing, they seem to look after all the people within their, shall we say, their Westminster bubble. They're all making lots of money out of it, but nobody else is. But HS2 is a point. I haven't actually seen any audited accounts for all the time it's been in existence. So they're just putting the finger up in the air and saying, right, that's what we're going to do. So I've called it Wacky Races and the Wacky UK, and simply the HS2 High Speed 2, and this is the first phase. Only 40% of the first phase has actually been built, and there are questions as to whether they're going to can the whole lot or just close it down and give the problem to an incoming government, whoever that is. So really what is happening is that you've got all these vested interests, they've all got contracts. The current set of politicians, and quite frankly, they are hopeless. Even Jeff Randall, who's a noted city figure these days, ex-city editor, says that business isn't behind this current government. And he's bang on the money. Jeff has hardly ever been wrong. I've had some issues with him in the past, but always iron those out, and he's quite right. Nobody trusts this government. So let us consider if they do actually cancel HS2, and I have to add that Old Oak Common, which is where it's going to finish now, wasn't the original place it was going to terminate. It's going to terminate right in London at Euston. In fact, they've gone and cleared all the property out, and they've closed down businesses and knocked down pubs, and they've more or less levelled the area, but suddenly realised that, oh, it's going to cost us quite a bit more money in order to actually build that last little bit. So they're going to terminate it for now at Old Oak Common. In other words, East Acton, which is West London. Now, if only people will get this into their brains, it's going to terminate East Acton, not anywhere near London, this is on the outskirts of West London, then that might actually give some people greater courage to say, let's just stop this right now, because when it is built, if it is ever built, and it's grossly over budget, it's going to be way out of date when it opens. It's not a bullet train, it's not a high-speed train like other countries have. It will be basically a UK mishmash. While we're talking about railways and HS2 in particular, and the fact that it won't now be going into Euston, there's an interesting little story that I can tell now, because my father, who died a few years ago, was the estate surveyor for London Midland region of British Railways. And one of the jobs he had to do, would you believe, was to take apart the Euston Arch. Now, this was a very impressive arch with four big pillars, and one of the pillars was hollow and had a stairway inside it, and the transom, the big triangular piece on top, was in fact hollow and was the map room for the old railway companies. So they decided in the 60s that they would pull this down because they wanted to put a really ugly office block in its place, and they were in the process of modernising Euston Station. And the local council, which was Camden, managed to obtain, well, they were in the process of obtaining a preservation order on it. And my dad, Reginald Bray, got to hear of this, and without turning an eye, or he just lifted the phone, called up a demolition contractor called Valerie, V-A-L-O-R-I, who lived in Rickmansworth, which is quite nearby, and said, right, you've got to get this arch down and removed by Monday evening. This was a Friday. And would you believe, in those days, they didn't have these big sort of mechanical movers and things, but they actually managed to move these great big solid blocks of rock and loaded them onto lorries, and they all disappeared. Years later, there was a campaign to reinstate the Euston Arch, as it was known, and nobody could find the rocks, because they'd all disappeared. A few were tipped into a canal somewhere. They recovered those, and they couldn't find the rest. And so I mentioned this to my dad, who by this time had retired, and he said, oh, I know exactly where they are. Do tell. And I think I can tell everybody now. They actually went into the garden of said demolition contractor, Valerie. They are in his garden. They form a huge waterfall rockery, a very large rockery, at his house in Rickmansworth. And I have no reason to believe that the original blocks of hand-chiselled stone are still there. So if you're still wanting to re-erect the Euston Arch, pop along there and see if the rocks are there. Now, with the others they've recovered, they might actually be able to put the arch back up again. Might as well, because clearly HS2 isn't going to go in there, and they've cleared a lot of ground, so why not? They've gone and wrecked a burial site there. They've moved memorials. It'd be good to put something back. And this might be really good PR if they did. In the last segment, I talked about the Euston Arch. I suppose I should add that Camden Council were trying to obtain this preservation order on it. And my dad, who was then the estate surveyor for the region, he was on the British Rail Property Board, knew that this was going to come into effect on the Tuesday. Therefore, they had to do their work over the bank holiday weekend and clear everything before the order came into force. And that is the background story to the Euston Arch. But it makes me wonder what else has been going on, because to bring matters bang up to date, we have a very strange Home Secretary, Suella Braverman. And Suella has gone off to the USA, and she's trying to redefine the definition of a refugee. And one interesting fact is, she says that being a homosexual, which I'm not for arguments, if you're interested, but being a homosexual means that's not grounds for being a refugee. Now, I find this very strange because I seem to remember that Suella was born in Kampala, Uganda. Now, I was in Uganda about 55 years ago. And so, really, her parents are from Uganda. As you'll know, Idi Amin chucked a lot of British Asians, or a lot of Asians, out of Uganda. And so they then became British Asians. And Suella Braverman is part of that cohort. So for her to say that homosexual refugees are not refugees, is a bit strange, because if you are homosexual in Uganda, you face an immediate prison sentence, and life will not be very good for you at all. The president there, Museveni, is against homosexuality. And so you will not want to visit Uganda for your holidays or anything like that. So I really wonder what she's getting at, what she's trying to do here. I think it's a big smokescreen, because the boats haven't worked. The boats people who bring in the unfortunates into the UK have just gone built bigger rubber boats. They're putting about 100 people per boat on now. And the Tories are saying, well, the number of boats coming over has gone down. Yes, but they've increased in size. And so there's no need for extra boats, because they're getting all the people in. They're still making a fortune out of these poor people. And all their families back home have chipped in to buy them a passage to the land of milk and honey, which has seemed to be the UK, which frankly isn't people. It is in a big mess at the moment. So really, Suella Braverman, I think you are barking up the wrong tree. And to try and suggest that the situation in the UK is anything like the situation in the US is sheer madness. She is a right-wing loony, and that's all I've got to say on the matter. No, I've got lots more to say, but I daren't say any more, because I'll be in trouble from her lawyers and all the rest of it, and we really don't want that. But it is a matter of political comment. She is a loony.